Tony and Chris and Terry, I want to thank you guys for helping us this morning. Just helping us see Jesus clearly. He's redeemed us. He's saved us by the sacrifice of His Son. And in our Bible study this morning, we read through the scriptures of Paul declare that Jesus has done everything necessary for our salvation. His work is finished. And churches, you and I come together every week, and as we sing songs of praise that He deserves and He desires, as He walks and strengthens us each day, just so that we will live out the joy that He has filled our hearts with. This morning, as we study together, as we are encouraged by the Bible, it's my prayer that each and every day you realize and understand how much God loves you. When He looks at you, He sees you through the lens of the love and sacrifice of His Son. Jesus died so that we could come to the Father. Jesus died so that we could come to the Father. That means you and I are coming to the Father. We're not held back by our sin because Jesus paid the price. We are not prevented, and there is no distance between us and the Father because Jesus paid the price. Amen and hallelujah. So we're going to take a look at some scripture this morning. We're going to be encouraged and we're going to be strengthened to faithfully do the things that redeemed people do. When you're in the presence of your Father, the King, when you realize He's taken the beating that you deserve so that you could live. Church, the time for groveling is over. The time to be the family of the King, that's been set in motion. That's where we work from. And that's all of God's promises realized through Jesus. They are all fulfilled in Him and open to us. So what we're trying to do here is just increase our faith to see more clearly what is already ours. So we don't beg. We receive with thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for letting us come in Your presence today with the body. We live our lives in Your presence, and we thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus, the work, the only work good enough to save us from our sins. The only work required by You, because He lived a perfect life. He completed righteousness. He brought Your plan together and did for us what only He could do. Blessed be Your name. And Father, today we gather as Your children who benefit from the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And You are great. You are great because You loved us and acted on our behalf when we were unlovable. You are great because You extended Yourself when we did not deserve it. Father, we praise Your name. And we will continue as long as we have breath to praise Your name. And we pray, Lord, that You fill us with Your Spirit so that this week we will walk and talk and praise Your name. Father, we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 16 this morning, and we're going to realize that there is never a bad time to praise Your name. I pray, Lord, that You renew our hearts and help us fall in love with You all over again. We pray through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our great High Priest. In His holy name, together we say, Amen. So I pulled a fast one on you this morning. I had Terry read the text because I needed to read something else. But that story, as we continue in Acts chapter 16, you'll remember Paul and Silas are in prison. Remember why they're in prison? Because a demon-possessed girl keeps walking around saying, hey, these guys are from God. These guys are offering the truth about salvation. They're bringing eternal life. And she keeps doing this day after day after day. And Paul just finally just gets fed up with it. We saw that it is not the Spirit's job to proclaim the name of God and to share the good news of Jesus. That's our job. And so Paul turns and looks at her and says, get out, leave her alone. Well, the men that are making a living off of her gift, they're a little upset. They bring Paul and Silas in, and they say, these guys are teaching things that are not to be taught. So Paul and Silas are beaten and are thrown in jail. And we picked up that story in Acts chapter 16, and it was about, let's see, what time of day was it? Midnight. You've been beaten. You're in jail. It's the middle of the night. You're probably hungry, a little sore, probably got some, you know, wounds and scratches. It's a good time to prop up against that cold stone wall in the dark and feel sorry for yourself and woe is me and start to question if all this is worth it. Paul and Silas look at each other. Probably couldn't even see each other. I doubt they were given any torches. Paul and Silas in the dark. You know what? Let's turn to page 147. And let's belt this out. Now, I got to be honest. If I'm ever imprisoned for the sake of Christ, I really hope that one of our good song leaders is with me, so we can really sing. And they do. And they praise God and they glorify His name. They praise God and they glorify His name. In the middle of the night, after a beating, falsely imprisoned for doing a good deed. They don't deserve this. It's not just. It's not right. And it would be so easy to look up and say, God, why? Why are you letting us go through these circumstances when all we're doing is trying to be faithful to you? All we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. All we're doing is giving our lives in response to your love. How can that possibly bring about such terrible circumstances? Church, that's not what they do. In their hearts, the love and mercy of God is shining so bright and so full that their present circumstances do not matter. They're going to praise God. They're going to praise Him because He is worthy of praise. Now, this is a very challenging text for me. My willingness to worship, my ability to bring God glory and praise in my everyday life was really a good test of how much I love God. Because if I'm only praising God when it's good and happy and easy, I may not love Him as much as I think I do. But if I am able to praise and worship and glorify God even in my darkest hours, then I know that my heart is filled with Him and Him alone. Church, we may have bad times in life. And if you're here, you've probably had a bad time in life. Some of us are sitting here this morning with bad times in our lives. But we are partnered with Christ. We are partnered with Christ. We share in His sufferings and we share in His victory. We share in His sufferings here so that we may share in His victory there. What's bigger in your heart? What's bigger in your heart? Is it the sufferings here or is it the victory there? What's more beautiful in your life? What's more powerful in directing your words and your feet and your hands? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we can comfort others in their afflictions. And what are we using to comfort them? The same comfort that we receive. It's hard to give something you don't have, isn't it? It'd be really nice. It'd be really nice to give somebody something that you didn't have. That doesn't mean much, does it? Someone comes to you and say, "Oh boy, I'm in a bad way. Can't pay the bills this month. We got a doctor bill. We got a problem. We totaled the car." It's a lovely thing to say, boy, you know what? If I had that money, I would love to give it to you. It doesn't do much, does it? No. Because I can't give you something I don't have. I can't. Church, if we are not comforted in our afflictions by God, we will not have any comfort to offer those afflicted. Which is exactly why Paul and Silas could sit in that cold, dark, hopeless place and raise up with all the prisoners all around them, and they're just sitting there. How great is our God? How great is our God? We'll sing it again. How great is our God? You've seen the cartoons. You know, there was probably one of those guys with his wrists above his head against the wall. What? Great is your God. What are you talking about? Right? It's kind of like, you remember when Jesus was killed on the cross? And he was in between two other guys? And one guy just looks at him and goes, "What kind of God do you serve? What kind of God do you serve? Because if your God was any good, you wouldn't be here, because I'm here, and I'm not good, and you're sitting here in the same place as me." What does that say about your God? You see how twisted people get it? You're going through a bad thing. What does that say about the power of your God? And Jesus says, "Yeah, I'm going through a bad thing." And it says everything about the love of God. It's perspective. Because what does the other thief say? "Shut your mouth. Do you not realize who this is? You and I are lawbreakers. You and I are bad guys. We deserve this. Have you not been paying attention to what this guy has been saying and doing? He has been speaking good. He has been doing good. He does not deserve the punishment that this world is putting on him." Look, Jesus, when all this is said and done, please just remember me. Because I want to be where you are. I think Paul and Silas understood that in that jail cell. It may be difficult. It may be painful. It may not be fun. But I just want to be where you are. And I understand that where you are in this world is sometimes dark and cold and lonely and painful. And I would rather be nowhere else. What am I going to do? Comfort myself? Sit on the sideline? Sit on my couch? Another night of holding my remote, flipping through channels? Woo, God is good. I got it so easy. What is that? It's something we've created. It's something we've created. So something disrupts my life. I'm having a bad day. Someone treated me unjustly. God, why do I have to suffer so much for doing the right thing? No one else is doing the right thing. Why do I have to be the only one? Where are you at? Church, if we would just take our "where are you at" prayers and turn them into "how great you are," That'd change everything. That would change everything. Look, we share in his afflictions so that we can We share in his afflictions so that we can share in his comfort. That's what Paul writes here to the church in Corinth. Verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Church, when we suffer for Christ, we are comforted by God. We are comforted by God. And he may not take away the temporary pain. He may not take away the temporary struggle. But what he does when we hope in him and worship his name, even when it hurts, even when there's tears and pain in the offering, when we lift him up in our hearts and say, God, there is nothing greater than you, and there is nothing that deserves my heart and my praise today more than you. I will not make my pain my God. I will not make my circumstances my God. I will not make my suffering my God, because I consider them nothing in compared to your glory. Church, what we talk about and sing about and gripe about and pray about and think about, that's what we worship. There's no other way to say it. That's our God. And sometimes we turn our pain into our God. Sometimes we turn our pain into our God. We turn our circumstances and our suffering into our God. And we feed it. And we worship it. And we praise it. We hate it. But we worship it nonetheless. See, we are comforted by God. And if we have to go through temporary afflictions, so be it. Paul showed us temporary afflictions. Jesus showed us temporary afflictions. Because our pain and our suffering, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Because what happens when you and I have the faith to worship God in the face of suffering? What happens? A lot happens, doesn't it? Over in Acts chapter 16. Let's turn back over there. In Acts chapter 16, they're worshiping, and God doesn't leave them there, does he? What does he do? I love this story. He breaks the chains! They're worshiping and praising him, and an earthquake comes, and all their chains, pink, they're broken open. And this may be, yeah, we'll get to this. As much as I love God breaking their chains, you know what I kind of love more? They don't run out. They don't run out. How great is our God? Because I can say that with my arms chained. I can praise God when I'm put in a situation that I don't like. When I'm put in a situation that I don't enjoy. When I'm going through a situation that is not pleasant. And God breaks the chains. And Paul and Silas, their faith is such that the situation does not matter. They're free. They are free. Are they physically in that same dark room? They are, but they are free. Are you still walking around this same lost, sinful world? Yes, you are, just like everybody else. But guess what? You are free. Your chains have been broken. You have been set free. So it doesn't matter if you go through temporary suffering along with everybody else. It doesn't matter. How great is our God? I've been set free. My sins are paid for. I know whose I am. I know where I am heading. I know where this leads. God has redeemed us from sin. And our eternal glory outweighs our temporary afflictions. Our eternal glory, that means eternity, that means forever, with him is so much bigger than these temporary things that you and I have to suffer through. And guess what? He wants to hear it. He wants to hear it. He wants to hear you and I look up at him and say, God, I believe. I trust you. I trust you. This is not a big deal. You are the big deal. And I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to let you know about it. So this morning, I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 107. I had Terry read Acts chapter 16 because Psalm 107 is kind of long and I didn't want to ask that of anybody else. But we are going to read together Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I think we need a little encouragement of letting God hear it. Psalm 107. We have been redeemed and God needs to hear it. We have been redeemed and those around us need to hear it. Psalm 107. Above your Psalm 107, you got any subtitles that have been added in there? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, I was asking for book 5, if any of you have that, but yeah, it's titled. You got the book 5? Book 5 begins, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Yeah, then how about saying it? Right? Are you redeemed? Say it. Did you get good gas mileage? You said that. Did you enjoy the weather? You talked about that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right. 43 verses. Here we go. Whew. I'm not going to give a verse by verse commentary though. Okay, I just want you to live the psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffer affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works of the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Church, God loves us. He loves us and he guides us through all things. He corrects us when we're wrong. He makes a way when we see no way. And I hope you were catching some of the story that Paul is going through in this song. But what I want us to take a look at the end in verse 42, because God has delivered, because he makes a way, because they are giving thanks to God, verse 42 says, the upright see it and are glad, and wickedness shuts its mouth. The upright see and it makes them happy. And the wicked, they see and they shut their mouth. They got nothing to say. In Acts chapter 16, after God brings this earthquake, the jailer sees this. He's suicidal. He's put in charge. It's his job to keep these prisoners here. And he sees all the destruction that happens. He runs in there and, oh, well, that's the end of me. He's at the end. He is at the end. And he sees God's glory and he goes from suicidal to him and his entire family becoming saved. Back over in Acts chapter 16. Verse 27, the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Well, here we go. Here we go. But again, we've already seen the heart of Paul, right? Oh, I've been beaten with lashes. I didn't deserve it. Okay. You brought me into this dark place. There must be some reason for it. There must be some purpose for it. I know that if I sing your praises, I know that that will result in good. So I'm going to sing your praises. I know that if people around me hear how good you are, I know that's going to make a difference. I know that that might change a life. So we're going to sing your praises. We're going to let everybody know. The upright, they hear it, and they're changed. And so this man, he's about to kill himself, and Paul cries out to him. What does he tell him to do? You got this. No, that's not what he says. He says, stop! Stop! We're here. We're here. We're not causing any trouble for you. That's not what we're about. We're all right here. What do you mean you're all right here? I mean, I've never seen the doors break open like this, and you're prisoners, and any time prisoners are stuck in a prison, when the doors open, what do prisoners do? They go. They go. Church, we belong to God. We belong to God. We're not like other prisoners. We don't spend all of our prayers and all of our energy saying, please take me away out of my circumstances. We, like Paul, actually look up to the Father and say, Father, what do you want to accomplish in these dark circumstances? This is a dark place. Somebody must need your light. You see how that's just a little shift in thinking? But makes all the difference? God, you brought me to this place. There must be a reason for it. You and I are partnered with Christ, correct? You and I are filled with His Spirit. That means we go where He goes. That means we do what He does. That means we say what He says. That means we share what He shares. My life is no longer mine. I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me who's walking around doing and saying these things. I have given Him the throne of my heart. And so now it's Him walking where I'm going. It's Him speaking where I'm speaking. It's His purposes that I have taken on, because my purposes got me into a mess. When I was in charge of my life, nothing good came of that. When I was holding the steering wheel or the reins or whatever metaphor you want to think about, I was just off course. Jesus says, here's the direction, here's the power, let's go. All right, Jesus is in charge. So if He has got me here, I'm going to praise His name, and I'm going to keep my eyes open. In what darkness do you want to be seen? Where does your light need to know? So the jailer and all of his family, they're saved. And after that, when it was daytime in verse 35, the magistrates sent the police saying, let those men go. They've had them publicly beaten, thrown in jail. They've learned their lesson, and we weren't really supposed to have been doing that anyway. We let things get out of hand. So, you know, you can just let them go. Now, at that point, Paul didn't run out when the doors are blasted open. His chains have been taken away. He didn't run out then. He saves the jailer's life, and he stays put. And now they come and say, okay, you guys can go. You don't have to stay in this jail. Can you imagine, Paul? I really didn't need you to say that. My chains have been broken. I don't have to stay here anyway. It's not you that determines my freedom. Church, it's not others that determine our freedom. What determines our freedom? Christ alone. Christ alone determines my freedom. We are free to stay put if someone else needs us there. We are free to stay put if someone else needs to see the light and glory of God. There's probably a lot of theology there that a lot of us need to hear and focus on. We are free to stay put when the light of Jesus needs to be seen. We could probably preach on that for a month. Free to stay put. Ben's not here this morning. He can't put that catchy title on. That's probably going to be it. Free to stay put. Huh. All right, so the magistrates say, Paul, you're free to go. And Paul says, no. No. No, we're not going anywhere. You're going to come apologize. You're going to come and march us out so that everyone sees that we did not deserve this. Strange play, right? Strange play. Now, if I was a cynic, I would say, ah, okay. Paul just wants to strut through town going, ha, ha, ha. No, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. Paul says, you beat us wrongly. You publicly humiliated us, and we did not deserve it. But everyone saw it. Everyone needs to see the release. God, you got me through that difficult time. So I'm going to go sit over here quietly in the corner and be very thankful. I really appreciate it, Lord. Hey, thanks for doing that for me. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Nope. That's not what Paul does. Paul says people need to know. People need to see. People need to see what is going on, what God is doing. He didn't want a parade for justice. He just wanted the lesson to stick. So, this jailer, the Philippian jailer, he witnesses the power of God. But what does he need? Because he says, I mean, they say, hey, don't kill yourself. We're still in there. And verse 29, he rushes in there with the lights. He is trembling with fear. He falls down before them. He brings them out and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to be in the place where you are? What do I need to do to be a part of this? Because I've seen this, and what you have is better. How do I get there? He needs to hear the gospel, doesn't he? Don't let the glory of God stop Hey, what are you in such a good mood for? Oh, I don't know. God's just good. And then, is God just good for you? Is God just good for me? Or is God good for everybody? They got to hear it. They got to hear it. Seriously, I mean, you are worshiping and praising God with a smile on your face, the tears rolling down your face, and yet, okay, this is either so real, I got to have it, or you're crazy. I'll decide for myself, but you got to tell me what's going on. And you share the gospel. You share the gospel. I've been set free by Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. There is no chain that can hold me. There is no temporary situation that will sink me. God is good. Jesus lives. He has paid the debt for my sin. And my true home is with Him in heaven forever. I got no problems. And I'm just trying to figure out every day how to walk with Jesus and how to share it with you. So let me share it with you. This assurance that I have, it can be yours too. Yeah, it can be yours too. Because God just doesn't love me and the people I go to church with. He loves all of His children. And I want you to know about it. And that's what Paul does. He shares the gospel. And they believe and they are saved. And he takes Paul out and he cleans up his wounds and get him cleaned up immediately. What does it say? Yes, there's a theme in the book of Acts. Immediately, they go and the whole family, they're all baptized. Good stuff. They need to hear it. Church, don't let your circumstances in life determine your hope. Don't let your circumstances in life make you question God's presence. And do not let your circumstances doubt the love that He has for you. Because the love that He has for you, that's why John 3:16 says what it says. He says, this is how much He loves you. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can erase that. Okay? It's done. Now, again, it's why we still come together. It's why we are still singing praises to God. It's why it's so important that we are reminded every single day and every single week together that God is good and what He has done for us. Because we know our hearts forget. You know how I know our hearts forget? Because some of us have some anniversaries. Wedding anniversaries. Right? I won't make you do the math. You know what happens after a few anniversaries? You start to forget, don't you? Start to forget. You look at your spouse a little bit differently than you did at week one. Year one. Year five. Year 10. Year 20. 31. Year 31. Our hearts forget. You know how I know? Week one. We didn't have cell phones at week one, did we? A phone call from my wife would have been very exciting. Year 31, a phone call from my wife may be, I'm busy, what do they need? Our hearts forget. You know how I know our hearts forget? Because sometimes we just go, you know what, I'm just not happy anymore. I got to find happy. I got to find something that makes me happy. Hearts forget. So, the work that you do in your marriage, the work that you do in your faith, I mean, that's the work. The work is not entreating Jesus to somehow do something else to forgive you of your sins. The work is in my heart, my terrible heart that has to be reminded over and over and over again how great God is and how much I need His love. I have to be reminded. I have to be reminded. When I mess it up, I got to be reminded. It's got to cause a little stinging because I forget. I got to be reminded of how good God's love is. So let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. We'll hear His reminder. 1 John chapter 3. Go down to verse 19. Nope. 16. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. You may need to underline that one. Because it happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to you from time to time, our very own heart condemns us. Our very own heart condemns us. God can't love me, I've messed up. God doesn't love me today because I'm not being good today. Or I just said those unkind words, God must not love me at this moment. Church, anytime you and I will argue with God and say that he doesn't love us, that just puts an opportunity for the enemy to push us away. And when I say push us away, that is all self. God doesn't push away from us. We do all the pushing. God's there. God's there. Luke chapter 15, you remember the prodigal son? Yeah, the one that was always there, faithfully attending to his father. We got to hear that answer. Because he goes, are you serious? You're going to pour grace on this guy? He's not worth a thing. What about me? What about the party that I deserve? The father's like, what are you talking about? You've always been here. It's all yours. What are you doing? Why are you jealous of them? Because they get a party. You could have a party anytime. All you got to do is ask. What? Yeah, all you had to do was ask. You want a goat? Look, there's a whole pen full. Have a goat. You seriously, you looking at me and complaining why you don't have enough? He goes, it's all yours. What do you mean you don't have enough? And yet, church, you and I live our Christian lives like that older son way too often and more than we like to admit. It's all ours, and you and I don't ask. A whole nother lesson. I'm sorry. What verse was I in? Thank you. By this we will know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Look, if you're ever worried or if you're ever doubting, and if you ever say, hey God, have I messed up so much that Jesus' sacrifice does not cover me? Just ask him. Okay, just ask him. Hey God, I messed up today. Do you still love me? Ask him. God's greater than your heart because your heart will lie to you. Your heart will say, no, God, you're unlovable. God doesn't love you today. Are you serious? He's not walking with you. His spirit's not going to dwell with you. You messed it up. You should sit in a corner. You should put yourself in a spiritual timeout and be away from the presence of God for, I don't know, in your infinite wisdom, however much penance you think is right to satisfy the wrath of God. Does that sound like heresy to anybody else? That's not the gospel. That is a man-made heresy. Unfortunately, it's in the church. I got to feel guilty for today's words and actions for this amount of time so God loves me again and he'll start walking with me. No! No! That's not how God works. He's greater than our heart. Our dark heart comes up with those things. Us, here, praise be to God, he's greater than our heart. So when our heart condemns us, guess what? My salvation is not depending upon how strong my heart is today. What? My salvation is not dependent upon how strong my faith is today. Because some days, it's not that strong. I got weekdays just like you, and I got days where I question, and I got days where I worry, and I got days where I fret, and my salvation is not based on my worst days. My salvation is based on Jesus' best day, when he decided to lay down his life for me. That's love. That's love. And that can be counted upon. I can't be counted upon. I'm like this, and God is not. He's like this all the time. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment. This is His commandment. I underline this one because I like commands, right? It gives me a sense of control. That's something I can do. Give me a command. I love it. This is His command. Ready? We believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Wait, what? Yeah, that's His command. That's His command. We believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Well, that hardly seems exhaustive, Michael. Surely there's some bylaws and some, you know. Can't be that simple. All right. So we did have different wrestlings. This is His command. We believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Hey, I challenge you this week, give it 6 days. Not even a week. 6 days. Obey His commands. Just do that this week. Just do that. Just believe in Jesus and love others. Just do that. Because I have a pretty good feeling it's probably going to change something. If you just do that. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Church, the best news we can hear this morning, God is greater than your heart. When your heart condemns you, and it will, God is greater. He knows everything, so trust God. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your heart. Trust what God says. If your heart doesn't condemn you, then you've got confidence. You got confidence to sing in the storm. You got confidence. What's that, whistling through the cemetery? Is that one of the things? Isn't that what they say? Don't whistle through a cemetery, right? Not heard that? Has anyone heard that? Thank you. I didn't make that up. Yeah. Tempting fate. Sorry. It's one of those. Keep His commands. Believe in Jesus and love one another. And when we do that, He abides with the presence of His Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about for 6 months. And that's what we're trying to do. To have Him abide with us and walk in His steps.